I'm Logan Webb, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, June 26, 2023, and this is episode 283 of the TorchCast, the podcast by and for fans of the streaking San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King. And Eric, how many wins is a baker's dozen?
13.
13. They're almost there. They're almost there. Hey, they won 12 out of 14. Who are these guys? What happened to them? What was the wake-up call? I mean, I'm just jumping right into this, Eric. What the hell?
I mean, it's been unbelievable. They've been the best team in baseball since like May 15th, far and away than other teams. Like, I don't know how it happened because it's a mix of everybody. That's what's crazy about that. Well, that's exactly what we'll talk about is like every single guy has done something over the past 2 weeks. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. And mixed in that 12 out of 14, of course, was the 10 game winning streak, their longest winning streak since they won 10 in 2004. So 19 years. That's not bad. They did win 9 in a row during their 107 win season, but they did not win 10 in a row. So, hey, man, there's nothing like a 10 game winning streak to cure what ails you. You know what I'm saying? They
had
just
you're talking about
to 500. Yeah.
You talk about a baker's dozen. In the month of June, the Giants had 13 games against division rivals. They played every single team in the division once. They went 11-2 in those 13 games. They swept Colorado. They swept LA. They took 3 of 4 from San Diego and 2 of 3 from Arizona. I mean, I could not have imagined that the last time we got together and talked about it. And that's where they stand now. And that's what did it. You know, beating their own division catapulted them to this spot.
Yeah, it's unreal. They were 500. They were trying to get into the wild card spot. It looked like the West might be a long shot. And now suddenly the West is within their sights, Eric. I mean, after winning 10 in a row, they just beat Arizona 2 out of 3. They did creep within a game and a half, but they're currently 2.5 games out after losing the last game. They're a half game ahead of the Dodgers, for God's sakes, after sweeping them in L.A., nonetheless.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been so sweet. I mean, I hated seeing some Giants fans getting really, really upset about losing that third game against Arizona and getting critical of the team and the base running mistake by Sable and, you know, why did Cap do this and do that? I'm just basking in it. That's fine. You know, they took 2 out of 3 from the first place team. And that is the key to a successful series or season is to win series. That's the name of the game. You're not going to keep sweeping teams, Eric. I think we all know this. That's just but that's what they were doing, right? They swept Colorado. They swept L.A. They swept St. Louis. They took 3 out of 4 from San Diego. They won 2 out of 3 and almost swept the Diamondbacks. I mean, it's just been unreal.
It was a ridiculous stretch there of those kind of – I mean, that road trip, the perfect road trip that they had since we last recorded is just unbelievable. Nobody expected them to be that good on the road. And then to go through Colorado and St. Louis, like they were pretty much nothing. Didn't matter if they fell behind early, like we talked about last time with the Colorado games, or if they jumped out ahead, you know. And then the Dodgers, you know, 15-0. Shutting out the Dodgers. The biggest shutout ever at Dodger Stadium by the Giants. I mean, that was just amazing. I mean, what the team, they do it all right now. They really do. I'm just staring at that. 15-0. I mean, that was ridiculous. It was an Alex Wood start. It wasn't even like Logan Webb threw a gem. The Giants they were unbelievable during that 10-game winning streak. There was so many great moments. The way they came back, it gave you hope that they're a playoff team. And now they've put themselves in position to be one.
I almost felt bad for the Dodgers when they lost 15-0, and then that fleeting moment clearly, quickly left my brain, and I was left with happiness and joy and contentment. Little schadenfreude, to be honest.
29 runs! 29 runs in 3 games! Ridiculous numbers.
And it's been, again, the tale of the revolving door and all of these call-ups and all of these rookies and all of these who are these name kind of guys. And, you know, the formula that worked in 2021 that did not work at all in 2022 and had not worked up through the beginning of May in this part of, you know, for this year, does seem to be working now. I mean, do you think that kind of encapsulates that in terms of this is what Farhan does, right? It's next man up. It's having a balanced roster, not any real superstars.
Yeah, and, you know, having the pitching, the bullpen and all of that to withstand it, that's what's kind of done it. That's why they can go with the next man up, because the pitching staff and the way Gabe's been able to rotate these guys in and out has pretty much put them in the position to. Like, I saw that you mentioned relievers in the notes. Relievers was something I wanted to talk about. I think that's been really the backbone of what's been going on with them. The fact mm-hmm. that they've been able to maintain, you know, hold the line so they come back or jump out to a lead and keep the team down. They've been winning games both ways, and a lot of it has to do with the pitching. And some of these guys like Tristan Beck getting some innings done. Sean Jelly had a great game the other day. You know, Brebbia was doing good stuff before he went on the shelf. Even there, it's a revolving door. I mean, Brebbia went down. Alexander went down. So there's been a lot of different guys stepping up. And that, to me, has been like the absolute keystone for this turnaround at this point. And that's how you can handle the next man up mentality, is if you keep your team in every game, you know, odds are somebody might get that hit. And the Giants have been getting that.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Rogers has been just rock solid this year, 1.86. Taylor's down to a 2.67, but that was after a really horrible start. I mean, look at him right now. 27 innings pitched, only 16 hits, right? And 34 strikeouts. Wow. I mean, pretty freaking incredible after he threw his glove into the trash can. It's funny when you sort the Giants ERA, the top two are Brandon Crawford and David Villar at zero. I'm just saying. Hey, they've contributed two innings to, you know, lower that ERA from the staff. But, you know, well,
Matt Beattie's on the other side with a 27 ERA.
Yeah, you're right about that. So that is three runs over three innings.
And Cole Waits at 15.4. I'm not going to say anything. That sucks.
That does suck for him. Yeah, two and a third for him. Yeah, you know, after April, they had just a horrific bullpen ERA. I think it was second or third to last. But they definitely have been climbing the ranks, and I know that their bullpen ERA has been the best since May 15th. And overall, what's really shocking is their starters were like top three or four in the league. Their starters have just not been doing quite as well, but the relievers have more than made up for that. The relievers have now caught up and tied the starters in terms of relative rank in major leagues. The reliever ERA is now 11th in the majors at 3.81, and starters are also 11th in the league at 4.04. So what do you think the whole team is? Yeah, 11th at 3.93. So,
you know, the interesting thing that the bullpen is doing more this year is strikeouts. They lead the Giants relievers lead the league in strikeouts, and they've played like three less games than some other teams out there, four less games than the Tampa Bay Rays, and they lead in strikeouts. Not necessarily strikeouts per nine, because, you know, they use the opener quite a bit. But that's the one capability they didn't used to have, was swing and miss, which is what gets you out of jams in certain situations. So, you know, that's probably why the ERA came back to normal, is they finally got some guys that can throw strikes and make guys swings and miss.
Yeah. And again, young guys, right? Like you said, Tristan Beck, obviously Keaton Wynn's come up and eaten a lot of innings. These guys all have under four ERAs for really young guys from AAA. I mean, that's fantastic, right? It's still lower than your Striplings and Manias and even Alex Wood. So, I mean, they're holding their own, which is fantastic to see. Luke Jackson just went on the shelf. He's starting to show a lot of promise. Camilo Duvall is just filthy. He finally blew a save the other day, but they still won the game. You know, Ryan Walker has been solid, 19 innings, 1.89 ERA. It's been a resurgence, and definitely what we thought was a strength of this team. So thank goodness that they finally kicked in, because this is the, I mean, again, you and I are thinking, you know, mid 80s in the win totals. They're beating that prediction right now. They're on pace for around 92 wins. So not bad. Not bad. We'll take this right now. They're not going to keep sweeping these teams. We know they're going to have some Colts you know, stretches coming up, but damn, it is fun to watch. I'm just saying.
I mean, but why not? They're on a tear on the road right now, man, and they're going to Tampa where you – I mean, not Tampa, Toronto, where you can hit well. And yeah, in Toronto you can hit well, and it's a good backdrop, a decent hitting park. And then the Mets are a mess anyway, so, you know, I mean – I'm already leaning to the let's go 4-2, 5-1 on this road trip as well. I mean, I'm with you. I don't know if we can expect that it'll continue because the amount of injuries this team is going through. I mean, during that winning streak, losing a Haniger and Yaz going down now during that last series against Arizona, it's maybe the Padres, whatever, it was the last few days. It's just so frustrating. Like, you noted it in here, and Luis Matos had to come up. Like, I did not see that coming. Like, we were not talking about that as an on-the-radar thing. Like, we said he's been great and he might force the issue, but we didn't mean, like, within the next week when we last talked. I mean, were you shocked when they brought Matos up?
I was. I know he was hot, but I was shocked. But, I mean, look at the right-handed outfield options right now with guys on, you know, the DL with Haniger and company. Luis Matos, who we didn't think was going to be up. Austin Slater, who's usually the one that's hurt, ironically. And Bryce Johnson, who's a switch hitter. So this is really weird, man. And of course, because of that lack of depth, they also got center fielder Dalton Guthrie from the Phillies in exchange for cash considerations last week. And he's actually in AAA already. So I don't know. It's this roster construction, again, I understand the next man up mentality, but you and I cannot predict who's going to be the next man up. That's the problem. And who they're going to go get in a trade. They're probably going to get another catcher next week, you know? I mean, I'm just saying, it's really weird, but at least in most of May and all of June, where typically the Giants have struggled, it has really worked out well for them. I mean, the fact that they were so far behind the Dodgers and they're actually a half game ahead of them right now just speaks wonders to what's been happening lately. And now I think we can seriously start talking about, hey, Arizona, I mean, they can cool off too. Who's to say the Giants can't win this division now? I mean, it's something I've never even thought of. Even last week, in the midst of the 10-game winning streak, I still wasn't thinking of it. But now they got to within a game and a half.
Yeah, I started to get there last week when I saw them moving, shooting up the wild card board, and I was like, wait a second. There's a lot of baseball to be played. We're 78 games into the season. We're not even halfway. After these three in Toronto, we'll be halfway point of the season. Look for my article about fun stats through the first half on Giants Chatter on Friday. Thank you. Good plug. but watching this team with, you know, I'm looking at it. Patrick Bailey might be the difference that did this. Because you think about the timing of the bullpen kind of gelling and getting better. Starters have been going better. We know certain guys trust them. And the guy is somehow amazingly hitting .323 with four bombs and driven in 22 guys. I mean, it's kind of stunning just to see what kind of leadership skills he's brought to the table. It was kind of that piece that they needed as a bit of a backbone. I don't know why, but he seems like the lightning rod that did it more so than like Casey Schmidt, because Casey was hot for a while, like he's at the end of the bench right now. He's only going to get playing time if Eason continues to fail. And, you know, but Bailey, it just strikes me as that one constant that's been there since he's been up that kind of led to this streak the Giants have been on.
I agree with you. I think, you know, for this particular stretch in June, Bailey definitely has been one of the main catalysts because Schmidt was the catalyst in the beginning. But yeah, like you said, he's really cooled off. He's at the end of the bench. He didn't start any of the games against Arizona. I mean, Eason Diaz, who I might have heard of once before, you know, came up. And, you know, he's cold. He's 0-for-8 with four strikeouts. I mean, they had to do this with some, you know, with Yaz out there, or out, I should say. They needed that flexibility. And Schmidt's coming in as a, you know, pinch hitter and a defensive replacement. And this is a guy that was tearing the league up and taking the league by storm. And, you know, you and I talked about him, and just like with most rookies who get off to hot starts, the league learns who they are, and they pitch to their weaknesses, and his weakness right now is chasing, right? Strangely enough, he did get two walks in that one key come-from-behind win, but that's, in fact, even Yaz was like, they were talking about his home run, his splash hit to win the game, and he's like, what are you talking about? Look, Casey Schmidt walked. Like, that's like, come on. That's the miracle, not my home run, right? I mean, even the players joke about it. So, you know, he's got to figure things out right now. And in June, he's hitting 140 right now. So it's not good. He's down to 257 for the year, which that in itself isn't bad. But he is cold and, you know, they're going to go with a hot hand. And he's definitely not hot right now. So hopefully he picks it back up. But Bailey, I mean, 357 for the, sorry, the last 15 days. I mean, he's really hot.
He hit 250 in Eugene last year. In Eugene. Yeah. I mean,
I don't understand it.
How the hell is he over 350 in the majors? I love it. I do, though. You just love to see kids who come in and they just have it. And he seems to have it. It's like, I think Matos has it when it comes to all the tools. Matos is smarter than I expected him to be. You can see him kind of figuring things out and making adjustments. He just hasn't had the power stroke. He doesn't have the extra base hits yet. But like Bailey just kind of walked in like, this is what I'm supposed to do. Okay. You know, and I appreciate that. You know, Matos has been fun to watch, though. That kid is also great out in center. Like losing Yaz, you think you'd lose the great center fielder, but Matos is definitely going to be able to make up for that.
Yeah, Matos has got a great eye, too. I mean, I've been watching his at-bats, and he's letting things go like a Brandon Belt or a Lamont Wade. And let me look him up here. Yeah, so he's got only 4 strikeouts and 39 at-bats. That's not bad. And, you know, 6 walks in that time frame. So he's already, like, double what Schmidt's done and, like, triple the plate appearances. So, yeah, he's looking really good. In fact, we talked about Matos last time because he had just been called up. But what I didn't mention was the fact that he's the youngest Giant to make his debut since Madison Bumgarner. So that was kind of an important note that I forgot. He's young. He's 20 years old. So, you know, like you said, he's got a lot to grow into in terms of power and everything like that. But he already does seem to have a lot of that hitting intelligence. And so hopefully it carries through. He's hitting 282 right now in 39 at-bats. So, you know, that could go south. But right now he's playing, you know, all over the place. He can play infield, he can play outfield. He's it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's got a real great game awareness. You can just see it with the extra bases he's been taking and stealing at the right time so far. He's got a feel for the game. I think he'll grow into his stroke as time goes on. I'm excited that they're giving him full at bats, that they're not platooning him at all. But with the list of guys we just mentioned that all went down, I mean, you kind of don't have a choice at this point.
No, you don't have a choice at this point. In fact, where do I have the injuries here? Yeah, Haniger, of course, we mentioned him. He's on the 60-day IL. Yaz on the 10-day. Luke Jackson, 15-day. Alex Cobb had a rehab start in San Jose. Ross Stripling was activated yesterday, so it'll be nice to see him. It's going to be interesting to see if he gets any action against the Blue Jays, since that's the team he just came from. So I would imagine he probably will.
That'd be fun. We're going to face Gosman during this series. Shout out to Chris Corbett, who will be at all 3 games in Toronto, and Tyler Hall, who is also flying out to see the Giants in yet another city. So I hope they have a fun time and meet up. But we hope the Giants sweep.
Yeah, no, we'll take that. You know, Brandon Belt doesn't have to hit a home run against his former mates. That's fine. Doesn't have to do that at all.
Did you hear he was second in all-star voting or some crap like that? What's going on? Was there a joke we missed?
No. So, yes, he technically was second in American League DH voting behind Shohei Ohtani. But Shohei had like 2 million votes and Belt was second with like 200,000 votes. The gap was hilarious. Okay. It was freaking hilarious. Okay. And so when they asked him, how does it feel being second in the AL vote? And he's all, well, actually, I'm pretty disappointed because we all know that I should have been first. And he goes on and, you know, his dry wit. It was just fantastic. I love that guy. He's still, you know, cracking the jokes and everything. So, yeah, technically he was second, but no, he's not going to be in Seattle for the All-Star game. you want to talk about a distant second? That's about as far back you can finish in second place.
Yeah, that's amazing. He's probably over 2 million or whatever behind. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous how far that gap is. I mean, Shohei right now tonight retook the major league home run lead, and the guy's like ninth in ERA. I mean, what the hell, man? Yeah. This dude keeps doing things that just amaze the hell out of all of us. He is a unicorn, and you know, I know he's players think he's gonna go to the Dodgers, blah blah blah. Who knows where the hell he's gonna go, to be honest, but. You know, if the Giants can throw their hat in the ring, give him whatever he wants. That's all I say.
I agree. Throw it all at him. You know, it's just, it's not even that he does it. It's like how he does it. He'll take a pitch inside at his shins and hit it out to left center field. Like, how the hell do you inside out that ball as a left-handed hitter and take it the other way like he does? Like, that's the kind of crap I've never seen before. So give him anything he wants. He wants $1 billion. If there's no cap, whatever. Charles Johnson, get out the check.
I thought it was a funny stat the other night. The Angels won 25-1 against the Rockies. Yeah. However, they still lost 2 out of 3 in the series, even though they outscored the Rockies. In fact, they outscored the Rockies for the series over a 2-inning period. And they still lost 2 out of 3. And the game that they won 25-4, Shohei was 1 for 6, which was hilarious. He was the only starter without 2 hits. And it's Shohei. So anyway, that was quite the score.
That's
to watch.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's funny how baseball can be like that. It's like, wait, didn't we win 2 out of 3 on that one? No, you just won 2 really big innings. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Giants had a big inning the night you were there. That was one of the few times during the streak where they like totally unloaded in an inning.
They did, and it was a little story. I was actually kind of frustrated about it because I went to go cover the game, and my family wanted to go. And, you know, it's hard because I'm not going to sit with my family. But they wanted to go. So, number one, I couldn't get up there as early as I wanted to do. But, you know, that's okay. And then, two, you know, I'm not sitting with them. But they wanted to see me. So I went to go meet my daughter for some coffee. And I'd met them earlier in the game, too. But then she wanted a coffee, and the line was real long. And then my wife wanted one of those my son wanted one of those Chur waffles that I taste tested during media day.
Yeah.
And we went to go all, because they were literally on opposite sides of the park, right? Pete's Coffee's in center field where the Cha-Cha Bowls and all that is. Then the Chur waffles are all the way back on the visitor's dugout side, on, you know, first base side. So it's like, oh my God. And, you know, trying to swim against all of those people in the concourse is just really difficult. So I was like, oh. And during this is when that inning is happening, right? So there's, and I'm like, oh, what the hell? What did I miss? What did I miss? And we got to stop, look up at the TV, because I can't even see the field, right? So basically, yeah, they scored all the runs while I was out of the press box. I was so upset. I did see Patrick Bailey's home run because we had just picked up the Chur waffles, had just walked over to the standing room only section. And I just, you know, I was just looking up and heard the crack and saw the ball take off out of the infield. And I was like, oh, that's gone. I didn't even realize it was Bailey at the plate, though, until after it went over the fence.
Right.
I was like, who was that? Oh, it was Bailey. Oh, my God. Yeah, that place was loud, man. I hadn't heard that loud in a long time. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was 31,000 that night.
And there was more on the day games over the weekend. That's what I was going to say. Was it a different vibe being there? Because when was the last time you were there before Friday night?
I was there for another Logan Webb start. They lost 3-2 in May. I can't remember the attendance that night, but certainly wasn't that exciting of a game. But yeah, there's definitely a vibe. There's definitely some energy in the city. Fans have started to wake up. You know, casual fans are starting to come back. So I think this is proof when the team does well, people will come, right? It's not always about the main major players. Now, granted, they're not selling out, right? They're not even close to that. They're still like 10,000 shy of selling out. But it does show you that winning does bring in the tickets. Now, if they were to sign a superstar, that's only going to help. But it was nice. It was just nice to see the energy back in the ballpark. It felt like, you know, a few years ago. It definitely felt like back in the old days. So it was good to see, good to hear, good to feel. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, coming up, though, the Giants have got 3 in Toronto, 3 in New York. You just mentioned they're kind of struggling this year. And then they come home for 3 versus Seattle. Sorry that we didn't record last week. I had some family stuff come up, and this weekend as well, some family emergencies. It's been kind of a very frustrating time personally, but I just wanted to make sure that we got something in the can to talk about this incredible stretch the Giants have been going through. So, I mean, this is also when more of our listeners actually listen, more people are downloading the podcast. This is when people get excited, just like going to the park. They're like, hey, the Giants are doing well. Let me listen about them. You know, when they're doing not so well, their downloads tend to dip, right? So we're trying to get that content to you.
I mean, you don't want to hear it as much when they're not doing as well, so you don't think about it as much. So we appreciate all the downloads in that respect. All the new listeners, the better. You know, people are just coming on to the Giants that you know. Turn them on to our podcast, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, and there's been a couple of people out on Twitter. Sorry, I don't have it in front of me, but I just want to say thank you to those who have recommended our podcast, including Steven Risotto. He's done that too. So thanks, Steve. And all that. We definitely could use the word of mouth for the podcast. That said, I am going to be on vacation, so definitely no podcast next week. We're probably going to record maybe July 7th. We'll see. It depends on the boys and when they're available. So it's going to be, you know, a couple of weeks until we're back, but that's going to be a good All-Star preview. By then, we're going to kind of know who's maybe going to be heading to Seattle for the All-Star game. And the Giants will have wrapped up June and gotten into July at that point. But, of course, we'll still be all over the socials on Facebook and on Twitter. You can find this podcast wherever you download your podcast. We put all our content up at torturecast.com. You can follow me and follow us collectively at torturecast or individually at ChadK21 or @2OutHits for Eric. And that's with the number 2. Oh, I drove 8 hours home from Oregon today, so, and it's...
Yeah,
it's
well done, past, sir. Yeah, you did well.
It's past 9 o'clock tonight, Pacific, so I am running on fumes, so I apologize, everyone, for the ton of slippage.
You hung in there well.
It has been a trying couple days emotionally with the family, and now today being up so early and driving from Oregon. But anyway, Eric, what do you got going on with Giants chatter?
Just look for a piece from me Friday detailing some fun stats and facts from the first half of the season.
Oh, that'll be good, man. I look forward to those deep dives. I still love reading them, especially when the Giants win. These guys are entertaining writers, and it's a lot of fun. So anyway, for Eric, this is Chad signing off, and we'll see you in a couple weeks for episode 284. Until then, have a great week, a great month. We'll see you then. A-boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.